Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Scottish Watches podcast. Now, today is a special day.
Yes.
Today is a special day because we are talking to one of the biggest brands in the world. And we don't mean watch brands, because there are some big watch brands out there. You've got your Rolexes, you've got your Omegas, you've even got your groups like your Richemonts and your LVMHs. We're actually not talking about big brands. We're talking big brands. Now, the fact that big brand also happens to be quite significantly involved in watches is the reason we have them on the show. Because after all, this is a watch podcast. Despite the fact that most of our episodes, we don't talk about watches. This episode, we're going to try and actually talk about watches.
Rick, would this be a good time to say that people have read the title and know what this is about anyway?
Yeah, it does always make me wonder why people try to build up tension in these kind of things. Maybe we shouldn't put it in the title this time. Maybe we should just put...
No, I think we'll keep it in the title. But you carry on, Rick.
I'll keep it in the title. Okay, I'll carry on with my...
That's all, folks.
It's fun to me building a completely fraudulent completely fraudulent expectation. And actually, a lot of what today is about anti-fraud.
Mm. Are we getting rid of you
there
then?
You go. That's a segue.
You're the biggest fraud I know.
For all the stuff that I keep stealing stuff. Anyway, so we are talking to Tirath Kamdar from eBay, who this guy's a big cheese.
Right.
He's ahead of something. He's ahead of luxury.
Is Archie on the show as well?
The head of Archie. Is he technically the head of Archie Luxury?
Well, great to be on. Thank you for having us.
No problem at all.
You're more than welcome. Now, tell me, as head of luxury, does that mean that you not only look after the watches, but other parts of the eBay spectrum?
Yeah, no, we're focused on everything, including watches. Sneakers is another one. And also looking into opportunities within jewelry and handbags as well. So as eBay continues to grow, let's keep building better and better experiences across luxury.
And how similar are those types of things and the types of issues you come across between likes of the watches, the handbags, the sneakers, the other sorts of things? How similar are the challenges?
No, yeah. And I think the core, not challenge, but core opportunity out there is how do you develop a very authentic experience to buyers, right? As well as how do you continuously build better tools and services to sellers out there, especially in a time like this, in a global pandemic where retail stores have not gotten that foot traffic or still remain to be closed, and be able to help them with the right tools to sell their inventory online. So that's a similar challenge across all these categories. Authenticity, the thing, when I know we're going to speak a lot about what we just launched in watches, but authenticity remains to be a challenge for buyers out there. And are they getting a real pair of sneakers, real pair of handbags, real, jewelry piece when they're buying? And again, a lot of similarities to the emotional element of the experience. So we're excited to build up a platform here across luxury.
Cool. And I know that you, like many people, are working from home at the moment, but also when you work for a company, you tend to have to support what it does. Does this mean that when you eventually have to turn up to the office, you're going to have to wear like some sneakers, really luxury sneakers?
All kitted out in Supreme and LV.
Yeah. That would be a great combination. I already love sneakers. I mean, I have I actually most of the time do not wear dress shoes. If I wear anything that gets dressy, it's going to be dressy sneakers. Love my Omega that I wear. It's an Omega Spectre watch on that I wear every day. It's my daily watch with a NATO strap. It's just so comfortable.
Cool.
And it's at the end of the day, it's a passion, right? For me, I love these industries because I kind of grew up in the industry, and it's just become a natural passion for me. And then adding the digital element on top of that is exciting to just keep innovating on this industry. Right?
So what is your background then? Where did you come from before eBay? Give us the run through.
Yeah, so before eBay, I founded with my co-founder a company starting in early 2014, just two of us in a room, building an online marketplace for watches and jewelry called TrueFacet.com. And interestingly, we were solving the problems of authenticity, that lack of great experience and great lack of service out there, building more trust among the seller community to make sure that they're going to sell to legitimate buyers and get paid. And buyers know they're getting something real with fair pricing. And, you know, we raised venture capital funding from a lot of top venture VCs out in the Bay Area. And, a lot of ups and downs through that journey. I think the exciting thing is we were one of the first ones to get the major brands selling directly on the platform, both in the watch industry as well as jewelry. Right. And we sold, the business exited and was acquired in early 2019. But for me, I personally was not done, right? I'm not done building what I really wanted to always build in luxury and disrupt not only the domestic but global market for how digital could really apply to future buyers and sellers. And, you know, eBay, I think with the new CEO that came on board and the focused approach they have on, hey, we're going to do what's right for the buyer and seller in watches and sneakers and all these luxury categories. We're going to build a focused team around this. We're going to dedicate funds to it. It's an exciting time that we're actually going to disrupt and take what I built at my last company to the next level. And again, I come from a family business too. My family's been in the jewelry industry for almost 50 years now.
Right. So you've got a good understanding of it.
Yeah, but I also worked in tech, right? I spent almost a decade in the tech industry, and I was a banker as my first job. And then I figured out, you know what? I just don't want to be a banker. it's a personal passion. So, it's exciting to be on your show and just talk watches, talk luxury, and talk like how the industry can innovate itself, right? Especially with a time like this.
So give us your own collection history from the point of view of watches and even sneakers. We do actually have a few folk that we know. We know one in particular, so shout out to Floatlight, who's both a watch collector and a sneaker collector. So give us your own kind of background and personal collection. What are you wearing? We haven't done a wrist check. What are you wearing just now? Although I think you've already given the game away.
No, that's a great question. So it's interesting, right? I was actually more of a jewelry person before a watch person, right? Love wearing and creating my own men's bracelets, even created my wife's engagement ring, right? And figured how to put that together and design. And I mean, I trained as a 24-year-old in these factories in India for a year where the diamond manufacturing and everything happens. But my first watch was right around when I was 22, and it was a Movado, right? It was a great entry watch, 22-year-old, all stainless steel, black dial. And I was like, it's just a great classy watch, and it's a great entry into the luxury watch industry, right? I always saw that brand and tag as the great first step into the Swiss luxury watch industry. And I got that watch. It's somewhere. I've kept it. It's probably 20 plus years old right now, but it's one of those things I'm never going to sell because it's that first watch I ever got. And as I grew over the years, I actually then said, okay, what are the men's bracelet I could put next to that watch? And what are other things we could create? Even I think more men are nowadays wearing Cartier Love bracelets as a style statement. And it's really interesting how it's changed. So in my collection, yeah, I have that. I have a Cartier as well. And then I have my favorite watch, of course. I'm not going to go down the entire collection. My favorite watch is the one I wear almost every day and sometimes accidentally sleep in it, is it's an Omega Spectre from the Bond movie Spectre. I mean, it's a beautiful vintage-looking feel from the remake of the old Seamasters from Omega. Love the way they actually leverage the NATO strap. I even, like, swap out the NATO strap based on, like, different seasons and times to just play with the colors. It's just a fun watch, and it's a watch that it connects with me. And I think nowadays also, and I look at the next generation, people buy watches or even jewelry pieces because it's a personal story, right? You buy things not because, hey, it's the best movements in the world or this, because that younger generation really wants to understand how that's emotionally going to connect with me. And I think the storytelling element is finally coming to life out there in the watch world.
Yeah.
And so are you always on the lookout? I don't know exactly where you live, but I know you're on the West Coast. So there's plenty of ADs. Obviously, you're now involved with eBay. Do you get to see anything just before it happens? You know, do you get a wee sneaky peek? Are you like connected in, like really close to the server so that you get to see it?
He gets to snipe it at the half second mark.
Yeah. No, no, everyone gets to buy at the same time on eBay. I mean, oh. The watches go live and it's fair. I mean, it's the right thing to do, but hey, like, absolutely. I do look out for great watches and cool. For me, it's like, what's a great, cool watch that tells a story, right? And I mean, the watch I really want, which I'm going to aim for next year, is the AP Royal Oak Blue Dial. Just beautiful watch, that classy watch that could be worn every day. It's one of the watches I want. This recently, it's interesting, like you guys probably saw it, Nomos just announced this beautiful, colorful watches that I read about even early today morning. And I don't know, I'm just a fan of that because I've always wanted more colorful watches. And I'm actually thinking about, hey, let me go get that red one and find it somehow.
What do you think of the new Rolex releases then, where they suddenly injected a whole host of color into the sort of entry-level lines?
Yeah, no, I love them. And I'm actually glad because, look, throughout the year, we were hearing, like, which brands, major brands, are they actually going to produce? Are they going to shut their factories longer because of the virus? But Rolex is one brand that stayed strong, right? And I think it's exciting that they released something in a time like this because it just caused extra happiness. I think they've done a great job with the new Submariner. Great job with the new Kermit. I mean, it's beautiful watches. And I think it's causing already a lot of excitement across all the authorized retailers with their customers. And I've spoken to a couple of authorized retailers over the last couple of weeks that are friends of mine. And they're like, yeah, they're just getting a good demand already for these, especially with the VIP clientele.
Well, we were in seeing the guys in Glasgow here in Scotland, and they were saying, kind of off the record, but we'll drop them in it anyway. They were saying that instead of a client asking about one watch, because there's the range of colours, clients were now looking at this as almost a collection, although Rolex have never said it is, and are looking to purchase the full lineup. So they've opened up a new market that didn't exist previously for the Rolex customer, and also being at a very, I was going to say affordable price, affordable in Rolex world pricing. But it's opened up to somebody that's maybe younger, isn't looking for the fluted bezel, isn't looking for the big dive watch. You know, it could be 2020 could be an interesting time for Rolex in areas that nobody perceived would happen at the start of the year.
It could. What's going to be interesting is how many people will be able to get it from that primary market, right? And then the prices, as you've seen with Rolex, will suddenly you'll start seeing people selling it online and other places, and the prices will be higher than what it was at retail. And already finding that, right? Like, there are authorized retailers that and others who have already gotten watches out there in the market, and prices are already getting higher, 25%, 30%, 40%. And then that's just the power of what, you know, I think that what Rolex has done with this edition. Sure, eventually we'll start seeing a lot of this coming onto eBay.
Talk us through then the authenticity side of things. When did the, because there's been a couple of iterations of this before we've arrived at this guarantee that's happening now.
eBay used to basically have, till some months ago, an authenticity verified program where we had our top vetted sellers who were fully vetted to be able to, you know, get a badge authenticity verified and ship direct to the buyer. What we did is, hey, let's go take that to the next level. Right? Because eBay is, yes, we have amazing top grade sellers like Watchbox and others who sell through eBay. But also, we have a huge C2C market, and we have a lot of other dealers, wholesalers, and businesses that are selling as well. And one of the things, after doing significant buyer research, as you know, what I've enjoyed here is the scale of the data we have, is understanding that buyers and shoppers really care about when they purchase something on eBay, are they going to get what they actually read in the description, right? And this goes back to my past company too, what we were building in authenticity, and we saw it as a powerful driver. So we said, hey, in order to do that, we have to have a impartial third-party authenticator who is not a seller on eBay to verify every single watch before it gets to the buyer. And that's across all high-end watches on eBay. And so we decided to take the program to the next level, and that primarily listening to our customers. At the same time, we're like, how can we leverage this program to protect our sellers more? And it's what's interesting about this is every watch over $2,000 that is sold now goes shipped, not direct to the buyer, gets shipped to an authentication facility. This is an expert that's been in the industry for decades, has over 40 watchmakers and technicians, state-of-the-art facility, and they've been, this is their core job. I mean, that's all they do.
Are they a part of eBay or are they an external service?
They're an external partner. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to keep it more third party because it allows us to really conduct business and allow us to build a better experience for our sellers and buyers. The great thing here is they're going to, once the watch actually arrives, they're checking not only if it's real or not. What we're finding now with the program and what's really exciting is that did everything that is supposed to come with the watch come with the watch, right? If the listing said it still had the original box or if it still had the original papers, is it there? Does the serial number match on the original papers according to the watch? Those are very important. If was there a tag on the watch? Great. People want that tag, especially if it's a brand such as Rolex. And what we're finding there is we're not only double checking for authenticity, but we're also checking that the customer's going to get what they want. And that's mm-hmm. been an exciting part about it. And here's the seller, right? As you know, in a marketplace like eBay, we have, what, 182 million active shoppers. It's mm-hmm. like a large scale that, you know, there's going to be different activities where sellers have always been afraid of, hey, if I get a return from the buyer, am I actually going to get that same watch in the same condition back? Or am I going to get a rock in the box, right?
Yeah.
And with this program, what happens is eBay intermediates the return, meaning we had a third party assess the watch. Great. We took images of it. It opens up under video camera. When the watch is being returned, if it's being returned, it gets checked to see if it's the same watch that it was sent out. And we actually put a security tag on it so people are not just wearing it and then just returning it. There's a security tag that if removed cannot be returned. This is to protect the seller. Just a couple weeks ago, It's interesting. We caught a rock in the box, a $30,000 Rolex that was not in the box when we opened it up, right? And that seller, imagine if we weren't intermediating that return, that seller would have been out their money. Instead, eBay fully protected them.
Right, so this was a customer returning a rock in a box.
Yes, and it happens out there in the world. And I'm sure you've heard of a lot of stories as well.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I hadn't picked that up from the research I'd done as to the returns process. So the returns process also goes via the authenticating
mm-hmm. And then they compare it. That's brilliant.
We have to protect the seller here, right? I mean, you're selling expensive watches and you should feel like, you know, eBay is going to be a safe place to sell expensive high-end watches. And now eBay provides that.
And we should just make it clear before we go any further. This currently is in the United States only. Is it Canada as well or is it just United States?
Yeah, currently it's for buying in the United States only. We are, in the next several months, going to be opening it up to imports. So you'll find that sellers overseas will be able to participate in the program as well, selling directly to U.S. buyers. And of course, our teams are always looking at how to expand this program globally as well. So it's going to be a fun roadmap ahead.
So currently, if I'm in the UK and buy a watch from the United States, would that go through the hub for checking or is that not available just yet?
Just not yet, but that is actually imports as well as that would be considered an export. That's going to come up in the very near future. Where if you're exactly where you are currently, you'll be able to buy a watch in the United States knowing that it's gone through the authentication check, but also the checks are on condition and making sure you're getting what you ordered.
And what sort of impact, I mean, how long is this? This has only been launched for a very short time by the time we're recording this. It's only a few weeks.
Yeah, about a month. We initially had soft launched, and now we have the full suite of products onboarded, and now we're scaling it. Right, you can see it in the marketing we're doing. We even have a dedicated customer service team for watches now. Right, so this team is fully focused on that. So it's exciting.
And are you already seeing the average price of sale going up as people become more and more comfortable selling higher and higher value watches?
I mean, we're seeing new sellers coming on eBay all the time, right? In terms of average order values. I mean, this is still early for us to tell, but we're seeing overall the business at eBay is seeing strength this year, right? I mean, we sold, 2 million watches in 2019? I mean, just hearing that number when I came onto eBay 4 months ago, it's like, that is amazing. You know, and it's just phenomenal when we see that there's a Rolex product sold every 3 minutes on eBay, and we're seeing that strength. But it's not only that, we're starting to see at eBay a strong uptick in very high-end products too, right? When we sold $150,000 Richard Mille RM11 flyback chronograph, right? We're selling $500,000 Patek Philippe. I mean, these are phenomenal watches that are going through the platform, and now they're all going to go through post-sale authentication. And then eventually we're about to launch, and it's coming up, an escrow service. And that, again, is going to be the next level of just payments protection for transacting high-end watches.
And so is there anything that the central checking can't handle or can't handle just now but will be rolled out in the future? I mean, is the sky's limit? If I turn up with a triple split A-Lang and Zona, sending it, they're able to look at it, tell what it is, open up the movement and reseal it properly to check that it is what it says it is.
Yes, it is a high qualified, and the movement is not opened up every single time. It's opened up only if it's necessary, right? If it's deemed that, hey, something, there's telltale signs in this watch that look like it's a counterfeit. Let's go open up that movement and let's go assess. Hey, we've caught counterfeits to date, right? And there was an amazing Rolex replica, I think, from about a couple of weeks ago, that if the movement wasn't needed to be opened up, right when that opened up, knew immediately it was a counterfeit, right? And these are consumer sellers who probably may have never even known they've had a counterfeit watch that they bought. And so I think it's like eBay's now letting helping them out, knowing that, hey, you may have owned a counterfeit watch all this time and you probably never knew it, right? And I think what we're not doing right now is, as you know, the watch market has a huge business in customized watches, right? Customized watches, I think it's a wonderful market, but it has to be done right, because you also want to uphold the integrity of the brands themselves. So one of the things we're launching soon is going to be customized watches where we're not checking technically for the authentication, but we're checking to make sure it's sold as described, the condition, that the customized parts are the parts that were customized, but not taking away from the brand integrity, right? In a customized watch, the movements still have to be the original movements, right? You still have to have certain parts that are original. And so that is coming up soon as well at eBay.
Okay, I've got some questions there. With the level of checking that is done, do you do things like check that the serial number is on any databases to say maybe it's perhaps stolen? When your guys are looking at the movements, can they tell if it's an authentic movement, but perhaps one of the wheels has been changed because it's an aftermarket part? Or to what level of granularity do they do these kind of checks?
Yeah, it's really meticulously checked. I mean, to your point on stolen goods out there, that's something that eBay is completely against, is selling and having fraudulent goods coming on the platform. So that's something that our team are always checking for on the platform itself. Mm-hmm. In terms of the authenticator, they are checking if the original papers, does the serial numbers look like accurate, right? Is it matching? We caught a watch 3 weeks ago that the papers and the serial numbers didn't mismatch. That was because the seller accidentally shipped the wrong papers with the watch.
Right.
And imagine if that buyer got it. So think about that headache, right? You're suddenly sitting, and if you buy a $10,000 watch, Rick, and then you have to go deal with, like, wait, this papers, this doesn't make logical sense. And you have to go deal with that back and forth shipping and headache after buying a $10,000 watch. Now, that's not a luxury experience. So, what we did in that case is solve that before the buyer ever even got that watch. And that's the service element that's now part of this process as well.
It's an extra element for the seller. You know, it's double checking their service before they make a fool of themselves with a client. So that's phenomenal.
Yeah. And it's also like, you know, how this is a category that, you know, when a watch goes up, should already feel like it's going to be a great luxury experience, right? Mm-hmm. And that's also at eBay. Our sellers are what drives that category, right? And it's for us, it's like we want to partner up with them and help them understand how to keep improving their products and services on eBay as well. And I think this the authenticity guarantee process now is adding that extra layer to that for them. So
no, totally.
It's exciting.
Well, I've bought quite a number of watches. I don't know about Rick. We'll find out when he answers this question. But even from when I first started in the hobby, just about 3.5 years ago, the second ever watch I bought was a Rolex, and that was through eBay. And the reason I did that was for the existing protections that were in place here in the UK. You know, I could check the seller's history, their feedback, find out where they were registered, go back years to see if there was any negative feedback, you know, check them on Company's House, make sure it was all 100% kosher. And then I had PayPal as well. So if anything did go wrong, I had those protections in place. But like you say, with something that's a bit more expensive, or you're looking for that start to finish luxury experience, you don't want any sort of kinks along the way. You want everything to run smoothly. And I think that's great. One question I've got on this front here with this new program, is there an additional cost to the buyer or the seller, or is this something that's now included within all the service charges that are already existing?
Well, that's a great question. No, eBay is covering those costs. So eBay is fully covering the cost of all authentication. eBay is covering the cost of the shipping. Of course, just as business is done today, the seller pays for the shipping on the first leg. But after that, eBay is fully covering the cost of authentication, shipping, as well as any returns cost. And here's what's exciting about this, right? eBay, we don't have buyer fees in this category, right? Like, you buy a $20,000 watch and suddenly you're paying a 7%+ buyer fee, that's not a good thing, right? That's really expensive. So eBay, no, we do not charge buyer fees in watches. And what's interesting is seller fees, we decided to actually bring it down. So just recently, what, a week ago, we announced to our sellers. So I don't know if you know it, eBay, we're launching in I'm already in the process of bringing on sellers our new managed payments platform. It's a new version as our next generation payment service. So sellers who are now joining that new managed payments platform are saving, like, up to, for watches sold over $1,000, they're saving up to 35% in final value fees. And those who want to sign up for managed payments but are not active yet, we even took their rates down by about 30% on watches sold over $2,000. So we actually reduced the rates so you can sell your high-end watches and keep more money for yourself.
So what's the catch?
No catch. I think the great thing about eBay is we keep going into the experience, I'm talking to sellers all the time. I'm talking to buyers. Our teams are, and we really want to keep listening and understand what's going to build a better experience here and build a lot more trust. And what are the other things outside our authenticity guarantee as we go down the roadmap in the future that we can keep building for everyone? Mm-hmm. And so, no, there's no catch here. I mean, our goal is eBay has a lot of scale. We got, again, 182 million active buyers. So let's go make sure that, especially in a time like this, Rick, like where the offline sales are not like they used to be. And a lot of these sales are moving digital. eBay's also in a position where, you know, we've always been a company where we actually care about the community and we care about the sellers out there. And so we have an opportunity to bring on sellers. Like we're bringing on, a month ago, a retail store that's an authorized retailer of a lot of major brands. I think about 40 stores across U.S. and outside the U.S. also. And they've been hurting, right? Because they're not getting that vacation foot traffic anymore. And so they're coming on eBay. We're not only going to help them tell their story as who they are as a store, because you're able to do that on eBay with your content, but also allow you to sell that inventory that you have to a digital consumer that's actually looking for that inventory now going through a program. So it's exciting that eBay's in a position to help retailers, wholesalers, and even brands during this time.
Rick, what's your experience with buying with eBay? I think you've probably bought a couple of things as well, haven't you?
I have. I'm going to tell you what the catch is, though. The catch is you're going to end up buying a lot more watches.
I know.
I mean, you're going to buy a lot more watch boxes, and you're going to end up having all those boxes that you don't need that are sat in the corner.
Before the show ends, I can get the both of you to buy a watch on eBay.
There's the catch.
In the UK,
that's
it. We can't get your authenticity guarantee because we're in the UK.
The catch was to sell to both of you.
You let us know when we can do it from the UK and we'll try and be your first customers. We'll do a video of us being the first customers buying a watch from the UK using the authenticity guarantee.
Yeah. Well, we have over 165,000 listings to choose from, so that will be a fun fun journey.
That would be fun. Yes, no, my experience with VBA, I've bought a couple of watches with VBA. In fact, my best buy that I've got, I think, was a watch from eBay, and it was a Vulcane Cricket GMT, which I got very, very well priced from eBay about 2.5 years ago. It's a lovely watch. 50-meter water resistant, proper size, I think it's 42 mil. I like it a lot. I actually bought a couple of Vulcane Crickets, some older 1950s vintage stuff. Unfortunately, that vintage would not have qualified for being over $2,000, but it was nonetheless a beautiful purchase. Oh, yeah. Tell me what the... Obviously, eBay is a great big organisation, so you are well positioned to speak to other great big organisations, such as the brands. Have you got any feedback directly from the brands themselves about what they think about all of this happening? Because presumably this has an impact on them.
No, it does, and I'm friends with many of the brands. That's me personally. eBay, of course, it is in a position to do something special in the industry with being a leader in a digital forefront here. But if I think about taking a step back, I actually think this is a great thing for the brands, right? Because brands need to find and are looking to find new ways of distribution, right? And the opportunity here to be able to go digital, especially with players who are really, really deeply care about the experience and authenticity, I think opens up new opportunities for the brands that they haven't had before. And as you've known, the brands themselves, mostly based in the European markets, where you are in your part of the world, are slowly trying to crack digital, but there's still a lot of room left, right? Every country also has its own nuances on how you cater to a buyer through digital mediums, how you speak to that buyer, how you reach that buyer, right? And I think the brands are definitely, I'm speaking to certain brands, they're looking into this opportunity. But I think now, especially with eBay, it's in a great position to help many brands and as sellers and wholesalers and retailers as time goes on, right?
Yeah, and while we often think in a quite Western mindset, obviously the Far East and... parts of Asia, the Middle East, Japan are also huge markets. Is there a future there for eBay providing a similar service, say, in Japan or the Asian market?
Oh, those are really big markets. Again, like for this type of service and also other services, we are looking at everything. Again, we're looking at this to be a global business eventually. The question is, what do we launch globally and when? And I think that's a lot of excitement to come in the future.
Cool. And just as a wee aside then, I don't know if this forms part of it, but obviously there are watches that are bought and sold that are of value of over $2,000, but are actually listed as being not necessarily fully functioning. How is that dealt with in terms of the authenticity guarantee? Does when it gets to the assessor and they see a watch and they recognize that there is something wrong with it, but that was part of the listing. Is there even a facility there to, get it fixed?
Yeah. So if that's part of the listing and that was fully described on the listing, and the buyer, there's a lot of buyers who sometimes will buy those type of watches knowing that, hey, it's a watch I really wanted. Yes. I know I need to go get certain things fixed. I'll get those certain things fixed, right, when I receive the watch. Our current authentication process is not about repairs, right? Like, we'll check certain things to make sure the watch is working correctly and elements as that. If in that case we find that, hey, the watch is not working correctly and it was actually described in the listing, there's many instances where we've already had our customer service team reach out to the buyer to ensure that they knew what they were buying. Right. And to see if they still wanted it. And that's been an excellent service as well, because there's a lot of buyers who have said, yes, I absolutely knew that and I still want it. Or they'll say, no, I didn't know that. And thank you very much for catching it. It's awesome. Right.
Cool. And so with everything that's going on in the world, lockdown in various places still in existence and you know, possibly remaining for quite some time, certainly a changed marketplace. Where do you see the future, not just in watches as luxury goods, but in all the other luxury goods that you're involved in terms of the retail space online versus bricks and mortar?
I do think the offline brick and mortar will come back, but I as again, my personal opinion is going, the experience is going to evolve or has to evolve, right? Because I think what this pandemic has done is also allow people to try the digital experience that may have never tried it before. And I'm finding, especially from just folks that I've spoken to, is that they're enjoying it. The convenience, to be able to, like, they actually like, yes, I'm getting great service. Yes, I'm actually getting a great experience, right? And what I find is going to be very interesting to see, especially when we come out of this global pandemic, or if a vaccine ever gets built, how many of them will actually turn to going back to offline experiences, or will they then look for those same experiences from those same stores that they loved online, right? And being able to get that online versus offline. I think what people are also finding now is, hey, a place like eBay, just using eBay as an example, you can find hundreds, if not thousand plus Rolex Submariners in one place, pre-owned as well as potentially new. Well, you know how many offline stores you have to run around and make phone calls to even find one maybe that you might like? Mm-hmm. It's not easy, right? And so people are finding that, yeah, that convenience, and as long as you're getting great service, is great. So I think what's the market's definitely, I believe it's going to evolve when we get out of this in luxury. I think people are going to find new services and new offerings online have to be created in order to cater to that next generation of luxury consumers. And that just traditional distribution methods from the manufacturing brands won't work the same way they have historically. So it's going to be interesting times, right? A lot of uncertainty in the market, but I strongly believe digital is definitely at the forefront and the fastest growing area.
Well, we're speaking to different brands all the time about things, and obviously this year we've seen a massive turnaround versus bricks and mortar versus online. Companies that at the start of the year in January 100% were against the idea of ever selling their products online through their own platforms or eBay have now done a 180. Thanks to obviously what's happened. And we're actually speaking to people that are building their own platforms for different things as well. So it really has pushed things forward more than anything else I've seen in the last few years, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've seen several brands announce selling on their own commerce platform. Certain brands even allowed their authorized retailers to sell their brands online, right? Because they were like, we got to support it. We got to help our retailer there. Or a key partner. And I think what's interesting is that this is going to be exciting for the brands. And I'm excited to see that they are starting to sell online on their own. Many of them are. And I believe it's going to be a great learning experience for them on, you know, how to service the customer online from the traditional methods of offline. And I think this is where, you know, I think eBay really differentiates itself, because we already have a massive scale marketplace, right? Going back to the large number of buyers, the amount of supply. And I think the reach that eBay has is definitely going to be a major advantage in the market as we go forward. And I think the brands, yes, we're selling online. I think figuring out reach, but also the other thing with the brands is, what do you do about your secondary market, right? Like, you have your primary market, but how about your pre-owned market, right? Which is a really healthy market, if not a faster growing market than the primary market. And so it's going to be interesting how the brands evolve themselves online in the secondary market as well. It's going to be fun times to watch in 2021. Hopefully 2021 becomes a great year compared to 2020.
Yes, it's going to be difficult for it to be much worse, but you never know. We possibly said that in 2019. Couldn't get any worse, and then 2020 was like out of the way. But there we go. So what is the next part of the rollout of this that we can expect to see?
I mean, putting on authenticity guarantee is a huge element. The big thing that we're launching next is escrow. The escrow service is going to launch very soon. What's exciting about that is watches over $10,000 or more will then be able to get transacted through escrow. And what that means is that a buyer will be able to pay, knowing that the monies are going to be held in escrow in the middle. And then The watch will come to them. They'll have a 7-day inspection period, and then the funds will get released, or you can release the funds before that if you found the watch to be great and what you exactly wanted. Lastly, for the sellers too, when you're selling $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 type of watches, you want to make sure that money is secure. And this protects a seller knowing that that funds are sitting in escrow and that eBay is going to protect them, ensuring that, hey, if they ship what they actually shipped, and it's because it's going to go through the authentication process, then the buyer is going to get the watch, and then they're going to get their funds released from escrow. And I think that is very exciting to be able to offer an escrow service that sits in the middle between buyers and sellers. So that's coming up very soon. We also have like what we call eBay channels. And so we're thinking through, all right, what more to do there? It's a content-led experience, right? So it's on the latest versions of the eBay apps, both for Apple as well as Android. And it's targeted to luxury watch enthusiasts. It's dedicated to watches right now. It's called eBay Channels. You get the experience connects watch collectors with inspiration from luxury watch world and eBay's incredible selection. But also it includes feed. The feed includes relevant articles. It's a lot of content from the industry and curated in inventory. And we're also spotlighting many of the top sellers in the field. So I think eBay Channels is now becoming a more of a very curated, experience-led destination for watch lovers.
Right. I did not know that. So where would we find
this? It's in the eBay app. It's in the both, if you've downloaded for the eBay app on your iPhone or your Android phone, you'll be able to find it there. So that's exciting.
Will I be able to see that based in the UK, or is it USA only at the moment in terms of the additional content?
That's a great question. I mean, that is something that we're looking into. But I can look into having you guys added so you can see it. I'd love to get to see what you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you need two random Scotsmen, we're
happy.
We'll
be beta testers.
We'll do on anything you're doing. We'll be beta testers. That's absolutely fine. Yeah, no, I'd be really interested in that, because certainly I receive a lot of my watch content via apps that various watch media platforms are involved in. So it'd be certainly interesting to see the one for eBay and how that grows, especially as you say that it's also giving you sales content, mm-hmm. Opportunities that you may want to get involved in. So what's next for you just in terms of watches? You've said something that you're after, the AP. What else have you got your eye on?
No. He told us a couple of watches that he has, and then he says, I won't mention other ones in my collection. Well, I want to know what's in the collection, so let's have a run through.
Why don't we maybe we start with your collection first.
Oh, everybody's heard ours before over the last 200 episodes or thereabouts. But so what would you say is the most sort of interesting, unique piece that you have? Obviously, you've told us about the Movado that has a sentimental value to you, but what other ones have you got in there?
I think the Movado has a sentimental value. I actually only buy things that has a story that connects with me and the sentimental value. It's really, I think some people like buy watches because, hey, it's an investment. Some people buy it because it's the new hottest thing out there and I just want to run and get it. And for me, it's like, I really care about like the story, because when I wear that watch, it's like, great. Like every time I look at it, I would want to know, what's a story like, and what part of my life does it tell a story of, right? And I think that's like the exciting things that I buy for, right? Not looking for like, hey, I just want to go buy that next new limited edition, 1 of 10 watches or 50K type watches. No, that's not typical my thing. It's more around the storytelling element. I think the one that most sentimental to me right now, it's the one I wear every day. It's my Omega Seamaster Spectre edition, because mm-hmm. it tells a really good journey of my life. And my next one, we're really, really going to get Francois at AP to make sure he, if I don't find it in our retail stores, he finds a way to sell me that AP blue dial that I've always wanted.
Mm-hmm.
All right, okay, I see. It's like that. It's not what you know, it's who you know, is it? We'll just go to Francois Benema.
I think over the years I've gone to meet a lot of the brand CEOs, gone to know a lot of them, and they're all great and amazing, amazing people to spend time with. And I think one of my favorite was I think, what was it, 3-4 years ago, being able to visit Audemars Piguet, visit their factory out in the Valley de Joux, beautiful valley there sitting by the lake, and, mm-hmm. you know, getting spending almost a half a day touring the factory. I got a chance to meet Francois and had a great conversation. And I think just the story element that I learned that day from AP and its history and how it connects with me and parts of my life was something that resonated with me. And I just always wanted to, I don't have a Blue Dial watch in my collection. And for some reason, I just love blue dials. And so and I'm like, all right, the dots are connecting here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it's an exciting time. I mean, let's see if I can get on I'm kind of in between right now. And I might get I really like the new Rolex Submariner. So I was like, okay, do I want to get it? Should I wait? I want to get it. I love the new Nomos that came out today. I think it's a great brand and well-priced brand out there as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of fun watches. I think I spend a lot of time on eBay just surfing through watches, and
that's dangerous.
As you said, it's really dangerous. It is, because you'll see, like, I'm looking for a vintage Rolex from the 70s also, so I keep surfing on eBay for trying to find, as soon as I find this great vintage Rolex from the 70s, I was like, all right, I am striking. It's going to be mine.
Yeah.
So I'm looking almost 2-3 times a week on eBay, and it's so fun, right? Because you surf and you find, and you never know. You can come back every single day and there's like new inventory.
Listen, I know you're new to the company and stuff like that, but you can set up a thing called a saved search.
That is something I don't actually know, but that is another thing that, you know, I'm going to find out and I'll learn.
I'll teach you all about it. Basically, eBay takes out the headaches and the hard work. They'll automatically search through new listings on your behalf and email you a list of the watches that you're looking for, so you don't even have to go searching at 3 a.m.
There you go.
Drunk. Yeah.
Or the worst part would be that you are drunk and then you may actually buy something that you regret the next morning, right?
Right. I've got a story for you. I used to work for a company about 10 years ago, and the boss would always go onto eBay late at night after he'd had some wine. And one of these days he went onto eBay and he was thinking about a motorcycle he had when he was a kid, when he was growing up, and he found one. So in his drunk state, he bought it. And everything was fine. He woke up in the morning and thought, I remember buying a bike. Oh, well, that's absolutely fine. A couple of days later, he gets an email through from the seller saying, how do you want this bike shipped from Florida to Scotland?
Hopefully that was really good wine. Maybe sometimes those are the best decisions.
Hey, thing is, you know what he did? He actually went through with the purchase and he got this motorcycle, a Honda, vintage Honda from the 70s, shipped across and it sat in the office at the company I was working at. So there you go. There's an interesting drunk eBay story.
Very good.
There you go. But, you know, one that you wouldn't regret, right? Because it's a one that, again, becomes part of your life.
Well, one of my favourite watches that I bought was a Bulova Accutron 1967 Space View. And I got that through eBay. And I had a little issue with it. Nothing wrong with authenticity. It was just that it hadn't been regulated properly. And the process of getting it back to the guy, he got it all sorted out. Communication was great. And I bought a brand new Seiko from Switzerland through eBay, because mm-hmm. it was much, much cheaper than walking into any shop, even with the discounts that we can sometimes get here in the UK. I got the Raketa Copernic. That was last year from eBay, and loads of other mm-hmm. ones. So I've got no hassles at all. And as I say, the second watch ever I bought was a Rolex. It was about £5,000 second hand. So no, and all these additional measures that you guys are putting in place, it can't do anything but strengthen the value and also bring up the prestigious value of eBay for watch connoisseurs and collectors, instead of thinking, oh, eBay, well, I'd rather go somewhere else. So yeah, well done.
Yeah, no, thank you. No, I think it's great also that, you know, like on eBay, people have relied on reviews of different sellers before they purchase. But now, let's say you're a consumer. Let's say you go list some of your watches on eBay and you don't have a history of selling on eBay. Don't really need to. Yeah, yep. You don't have to worry about that, right? Like, hey, no, doesn't really matter. You know, you can buy from Rick.
I would never buy off Rick.
But you can if it goes through the authenticity guarantee process, because you know you're going to get protected.
That is probably the biggest takeaway, I would say. Two things there you've talked about. One is there's no additional cost and you've reduced your seller's fees, which is phenomenal. And the second takeaway is if somebody has never sold a thing on eBay and they've got 0 or 1 or 2 as a feedback, this protects everyone and it takes away that whole I'm not taking the chance for $2,000, $10,000 or whatever. So those are the biggest takeaways for me.
Yeah, it's a whole new element of trust. So that's why I'm going to be excited to buy my find his 1970s Rolex vintage and then let it go through the authentication process. That's going to be exciting.
Good, good. All right, Rick, that's us nearly at the end of the hour. Anything you want to drop in?
Yeah, I just wanted one quick question, just away from eBay, but still within the whole kind of Silicon Valley tech sector, which you've obviously existed in for a good wee while. What are the kind of watches that you've seen others, either within eBay or, you know, other big tech companies that maybe you'll come across, are expensive luxury or complicated watches a thing that are appreciated by other executives within eBay or Apple or Amazon or all these other big tech companies that we hear about?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And what I always found is the iWatch, the Apple Watch that they launched, did one thing really well. Yeah, a lot of people always talk about it's going to completely kill the Swiss watch industry. Is it going to take away business? No, I actually think it's potentially helping it. Why? Because suddenly engineers, developers, people here in the tech industry are wearing the iWatch and they're putting something on their wrist that they never had on their wrist before. Their wrist was empty. So now you're suddenly starting to feel that. Okay, great. Now you're growing. You're like, you know what? I want something different. Like, I'm wearing an iWatch, but now let me go figure out what that first great Swiss watch could be. Something different and unique. And I think what I'm finding, especially with tech-driven mindset out here, is what is a watch at the end of the day? It's an engineering masterpiece, right? It's engineering, it's science and art that all comes together. And I think that's those type of watches and the storytelling that's happening here is actually, I've seen increased, hopefully, the watch business out here. There's a lot of great new authorized retailers and a lot of brands that are now coming into this market as well to work with key authorized retailers. And I think the iWatch has been a helper in getting people used to having something under wrist. And now with the engineering, art, and science stories and watches that are really great about around that is resonating out here. And that's what I found.
Yeah, I think also it's helping folk get over the hurdle of spending quite a lot of money, because Apple Watches are not cheap. But actually, when you look at a £1,000 Apple Watch with a bracelet, the other things you can get for £1,000 or £1,500, you know, for just that little bit more. And I think it's also a number of people are now starting to do something which even a few months ago would have been like, you look really stupid. And that's actually your two watches, which is wear an Apple Watch on one wrist and a mechanical watch on the other.
I call it double wristing.
So that's good. Well, thank you very much for your time. All the best with everything that's happening at eBay. As I say, if you need two random Scottish people to, you know, be customers, just give us, send us a discount code, we'll buy something. or be your first customers for the authentication guarantee in the UK, then we'd be more than delighted.
Absolutely. No, thank you for having me. This was really a fun conversation and enjoyed getting to know you both. Stay in touch.
Can folk find you on Instagram as yourself? Where we go?
I'm T Kamdar, KMDAR1 on Instagram. I'm also on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. LinkedIn is another great.
And presumably eBay is just eBay on Instagram.
It's just eBay on Instagram. And here, definitely follow us because we've done some really great watch content. We've done the Instagram lives recently with one of our top sellers, Watchbox, where myself and Mike from Watchbox spoke about watches and live Instagram. So by following us on eBay's Instagram channel, you will see that we're changing the way we actually do it, including we'll plan on doing more Instagram lives on there as well.
Well, if you're ever needing a hand in the UK and you want anyone to help out, get the word out to watch enthusiasts over here, just drop us a line.
Absolutely.
Right, well, thank you very much. You can obviously find us on all things Scottish watches. Just search for it on the internet. You'll find our YouTube channels, because two or three of them, and check the website for articles and all the other good stuff. But thank you again for joining us. And as we like to say,
no, thank you.
Goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from both of them.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.